Last week we spoke about rewards in heaven based on 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Peter writes, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us." So Peter wrote about how the inheritance for every Christian kept in heaven, which will never perish, spoil or fade. And he spoke about how God has given us new birth into a living hope. The normal born experience, we discussed last week, is into the world. When a child is born, it is born into the world. When you have a birthday, you say, many years ago, so many years ago, I came into the world. So being born is into the world. Similarly, being born again is into, not the world, into a living hope. The living hope. A living hope, not a dead hope. And that hope is because of Christ's resurrection. Number one, his resurrection. Number two, his an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. That's in heaven. Now, many Christians, we know that. We know that we have a reward in heaven. We're going to go to heaven. But while living in this world, we forget about the inheritance we have on earth. How through Christ, we have the privilege of people who can reign in life and rise above every problem in life. So this evening, I'm going to speak to you about inheritance on earth through Christ. How while living in this world, we can make the best of every aspect of God's grace given to us. In John 1:16, John writes, "From the fullness of His grace, He has given us blessing after blessing." In the New Testament time, because we are God's children through accepting Christ, having accepted Christ, we become God's children. And every child has inheritance. Some inheritance are in heaven, some on earth, as God's children. So you must know our inheritance. If you don't know inheritance, we can't enjoy the inheritance. In the Old Testament time, in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, God says about His people, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And I always say, Christians never perish, but we fall short of God's standard for us because of lack of knowledge. So let's focus tonight on realizing the amazing inheritance we have been given while living in a wicked world. And sometimes Christians go about persecuting themselves. I'm going to go to heaven one day, but here I have to suffer. And you usually make yourself suffer. Usually Christians have their own problems. You know, and therefore, let's see, we look at the inheritance we have in Christ, we'll count every blessing God has given us. There are so many blessings, amazing blessings. I always tell Christians, only a man who has asthma will appreciate someone who can, you know, only a person who has asthma appreciate normal breathing. You know, only someone like me who has shoulder dislocation can appreciate someone whose shoulder is in place. Do you thank God for shoulder in place? It's not fallen off. You never think of it, no? Possibility of shoulder coming off. Both my shoulders come off sometimes. Once I'm speaking, it came off, I put it back. So I put the elbow on the pulpit and then press like that, it goes up. And when it hangs it, you can't see it. The shirt is covering it. It will actually loose, you know? And extreme pain. Once I went to hospital because I did not know how to put it back in place. I went to hospital, Hindu Rao Hospital. And that guy, one young casualty department, young man was, I said, my shoulders come off. When did it happen, sir? 1 hour back. 1 hour back? Should be unconscious by now? He said, consoling me. You should be unconscious, it seems. I said, no, I'm not. I'm quite conscious. He said, wait a minute, sir. He bought a big book. Big medical book. I opened the pages. Nervous. He's sweating. I'm all normal. Then he took the page and he said, okay, sir, I got it. Then he put my arm. Then, nothing happening. Pain increasing. Then he said, sir, I got the wrong page. He said, please find the right page, get the right diagram, and then put it back in. That is extreme pain, you know. So, we've learned to count our blessings, you know. Believe me, you will never grumble in life, in Christian life. So what is the inheritance we have got? First of all, we have entered into God's kingdom. Do you know, today we are in God's kingdom? Sometimes we pray the Lord's Prayer, no? We say, let your kingdom come, you know, as if it's not yet come for us. What do you say? Let your kingdom come is for the people, for unbelievers. They don't know God's kingdom. Are you waiting, Lord, one day I go to heaven, I will see you, here I have to suffer. Let your kingdom come, come quickly. Already there. Today we are in the kingdom of God. Because through the cross, we crossed over from death to life. We crossed over from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. And you know, sometimes traditionally you come up in the church, so is the Lord's Prayer, no? We forget there is the answered part of the prayer. Whenever I share this in denominational churches, eyebrows are raised. I tell them, part of the Lord's Prayer already been answered. Look at me at that. In Matthew 6:13, Jesus says, ask them to pray. This is not a temptation, but deliver us from evil. That word deliver is ruomai, means rescue. Evil means evil one. So before the cross, he told them to pray. This is not a temptation, Lord, but rescue us from the evil one. Meaning, as long as I'm under the evil one's control, how can I face temptation? Please, Lord, no temptation for me. Rather, deliver me from the evil one. So before the cross, on the cross when he shed blood, by that blood, we have been delivered from the evil one. Today we are in the kingdom of God. So after the cross, in Colossians chapter 1, 13, 14, Paul writes, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, has rescued us. Same word, ruomai. No, it's past tense, not future tense. Before the cross, ruomai me from the evil one, rescue me. After the cross, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of light, in whom redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So first of all, we must understand, the kingdom of God today is our inheritance. One day, when he comes the second time, we will be in the physical kingdom. Physical New Jerusalem will come down from heaven. The physical, we'll have a new resurrected body, the physical kingdom. Now we can enjoy what goes along with the kingdom, which is peace and joy. In Romans 14:17, Paul says, he writes, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is Christ. When we receive Christ, we are made righteous. We impute righteousness to us by the grace of God. Peace and joy go along with this righteousness we have received. Peace means oneness. I always share that. You know that. God and us have become one because of the blood of Christ. And this peace we have to preserve. We don't have to strive for peace. We only learn to preserve this peace. Peace and joy are part of the inheritance given to us. Given to us. In the Old Testament time, through Obadiah, God prophesied, on Mount Zion there will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. We must only learn to hold on to possess our inheritance. So never ask God to deliver from evil one. Say, Lord, thank you for delivering me. Thank you. Today, if you sin, it's not because devil is under his control. It's because we use our freedom to go against God. We chose to go against God. We are responsible. Don't put the blame on the devil. Even the garden of Eden never told Eve to eat from the tree. Even the garden of Eden, devil never told Eve to eat from this tree. He only put a question and made a statement. That's all. Put a question. God say you must not eat from any tree in the garden. She gave an answer. Then he says, you will not die. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's all he does. One question, one statement. He gets all the blame for it. Adam and Eve were responsible. Today, if you disobey God, we are responsible. Now, kingdom of light means what? How do you manifest that light? How do you enjoy the light? When you follow Him. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. So to enjoy God's kingdom, we are in God's kingdom today. To enjoy the kingdom, we should obey Jesus. Obey everything He taught us. Because in the last few days of His physical life on this earth, He spoke to disciples, gave them instructions. 13th chapter, 17th chapter of John are the events and the teachings of Jesus the last few days of His physical life on this earth. He spoke to them about peace, about joy. He told them in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, don't be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. In other words, you have my peace, keep it. Don't lose it. If Brother Kalang gives me something, his Bible or something, he said, Raj, keep it. And if I lose it, I'm answerable to him. If he gives me a pen, if you keep it, I'm going to come back. I'll go out and come back. When he comes back, I've lost it. Like I lose so many things. He said, Brother, sorry, brother. I lost it. You gave it to me. I'm very sorry. I'll search for it. I'm answerable to him. When Christ has given us peace and we lose it, who's answerable to whom? We're answerable to him, but he's answerable to us. But Christians question God when they lose peace. Where's the peace you promised, Lord? I have no peace. He should ask us, where's the peace you give me? We lose the peace because we disobey. That's why John 16:33, he says, in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have troubles. Take heart, I've overcome the world. In me you will have peace. What's the meaning of in me? How often find the Bible? In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Abide in me. Be rooted in me. In Him means obeying Him. 1 John 3:24. Those who obey His commandments live in Him and He in them. This is how we know He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. So John 16:33 says, in me, meaning if you obey me, you will have peace. In the world, you will have troubles. John 15:11, he says, I've told you these things that my joy will be in you. Your joy will be complete. 16:33, he says, I've told you these things, in me you have peace. John 15:11, I've told you this, that my joy will be in you. Both are different in the context of effect of obedience. One is peace, other is joy. But the common factor is, I have told you these things. So whatever He says, when we listen and do it, we'll preserve the peace and joy. We enjoy God's kingdom. We enjoy God's kingdom when we obey Him. Now, very often, instead of listening to Him, we talk to Him. Nothing wrong talking to Him. But more than talking to Him, we listen to Him. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when He appeared, along with Moses and Elijah, you find Peter giving a sermon. Shall I make a filter for you, Moses and Elijah? So what does the voice say? This is my son. Listen to him. I mean, don't talk too much. Listen. In our own prayer time, how much time we listen, how much time we talk? I used to be a mimic before. I used to mimic people. And I was not a Christian. One of the things, a mimicry is observation. I was always observing. Even John Lieber told me that. Sitting in the green room, I asked him about his mimicry. He says, I observe people. The airport, everywhere I observe people. Then I realized I also do that. His mimicry is much better than my mimicry. But the common factor is observance. So I have the habit of observing everything, learning for myself. And one thing I observe is how people pray. And whenever I go, I look very innocent, but I'm very shrewd. Look at the way they pray, the mannerisms. Everybody prays differently. Some people they do. Some people they do. Some people sleep and pretend to be listening to them. So I observe. And I notice how prayers are usually for people, not for God. They pray to be heard. Somebody in the group is a drunkard. This man is praying, Lord, there's somebody here who's a drunkard, Lord, heal him, Lord. And one eye open, look at him. Is he listening or not? Most of the prayers are for people, not for God. When you listen to God, then you go in public, you know exactly what to pray. So the key to enjoying God's kingdom is obedience, implicit obedience. Don't question God. In Psalm 119 verse 4, you have laid down precepts that will be fully obeyed, fully obeyed. So, number one, we have been given God's kingdom. Kingdom of God is peace and joy. To enjoy the peace and joy, we should obey Him. If you fail to obey Him, get back to Him. Whenever I fail to obey God, in thought, word or deed, I get back to Him. And I come clean. You know, whenever a policeman interrogates a suspected criminal, they'll say, come clean, come clean. Come, don't hide anything. It's a very well-known phrase, come clean. Meaning, don't hide anything from me, tell me everything. I tell God everything. Everything tell me. My deepest concerns, small things. If a mosquito bites me, also tell him, Lord, take away this mosquito. I pray that also. He is concerned about everything. Everything is concerned about. But when it comes to sins, I make sure I don't try to hide from him. Tell him everything. And he is so faithful, he will forgive. And also he will purify some unrighteousness. He is not a spectator. One more thing I tell him is when I do something wrong, I don't say, Lord, I will not do this again, Lord. And then don't tell him that. I tell him, Lord, help me not to do this again. I am willing, Lord. He's a helper. Because Hebrews 2:18 says, because he himself suffered while being tempted, he's able to help those being tempted. A dependent on his mercy and grace to be able to live a life that pleases God. Now, one more aspect of kingdom is power, strength. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Manifesting God's power. And for that, we have one more aspect of inheritance. And that is God's Holy Spirit. Every Christian has in him or her the Holy Spirit. And because the Bible talks about him as a person, we tend to think of him as either you have him or you don't have him. But you don't think about having more of him. He is spirit. He can't be limited. He fills heaven and earth. Jeremiah 23, chapter verse 24. He says, can anyone hide in secret places I don't see? Do I not fill heaven and earth? About Jesus, John the Baptist said in John 3:34, to him, God gives the Holy Spirit without measure. There's a measure. And that's why you find sometimes in people, they look at different people, say, he's filled with spirit, he's not so filled with spirit. You know, but we don't realize that it's a continuous process. Continuous process. And looking at Elisha and Elijah, some people come and say, I want a double portion. Elisha got double portion of Elijah. Why? He did 7 miracles, he did 14 miracles. So, double portion. So, they'll come and tell me sometimes, young people, brother, I want to be like you. But I want double portion of your Holy Spirit on you. So I ask a simple question, why double portion? Why not 3 times? Why not 4 times? Why not without measure? If the Lord Jesus Christ did it without measure, anointing, how much more you and me need? So just ask him for that much for you to do his will. As simple as that. You know, it says in Romans 8:30, those he may call, he justified. What he has called you for, he will justify the calling by anything to do it. The gifts depend upon the call. The call does not depend on the gifts. Sometimes you want to serve God, no? You analyze. What gift I have got? What gift you got? We analyze. If I've got this gift, I can do this for God. Like some people are very gifted in singing. They say, I'm going to worship God. Praise God. I can't sing well, but I also worship. Sometimes people tell me, no, brother, you are the speaker. Come after the worship. 7 o'clock meeting starts. 8 o'clock you come inside. And the baby sit outside in the green room. Even in the Donnie was meeting, we are inside the green room. I wanted to go inside. But both of us went inside finally. Because your speaker must come, a grand entry must make. And I come walking inside. And one fellow holds my Bible, other fellow holds my bag. And one music comes when I want to. I said, I don't want all that. I also want to worship. You can worship. Why shouldn't I worship? I want to be there. So all these things we should forget about. You know, Remember that if you are a wonderful singer, praise God. But don't think just because you can't sing, you can't worship. Very often, worship and singing are two different things. Very often. I come across very few people who really worship. In the garb of singing, it's a show. All over the world, not any particular place. So, don't worry about the gifts. Think about the call. What have you called me for? It was something totally different. Totally different. Till I became a Christian, I had never spoken in public. I used to go for the debate. And I could never speak. If I talk to one person, if third person joins in, I'll go into a shell. Very shy person. First year when I won the college championship, they put me on the victory stand. And first time in 175 years, first year student won the college championship. Indian Express said, Rajkumar creates history. And when I stood on the victory stand, there's a photograph I showed to you. And I was so embarrassed. I didn't know how to look at people. Actually, I wrote written about that in the book. Accurately he wrote, you know? My dad was on the victory stand. He looked like he didn't know what to do. But I'm very shy. But from the day I accepted Christ, I could not stop talking about Jesus. The very next day morning I began. Next day morning. Not an effort. Because the love of God compels me to share the gospel. As simple as that. So I had no gifts till I had a call. When I got a call, I responded, he gave me gifts. Today I know fully well, my ministry is by the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. Wherever I go, people ask me, "Brother, how do you remember the Bible?" I am very honest. I say, I don't remember the Bible. He remembers. He reminds me. So, don't worry about the gifts you have got. Be aware of the calling you have got. The calling will come when you love the Lord. His will, your desire will become one. When you feel an urge to do something, don't think, "Oh Lord, I don't think I can do it, Lord." You know, when Gideon was sent to go to the Midianites, he hesitated. The angel told him, "Lord is with you, mighty warrior." What was he doing? He was in the wine press, threshing wheat in the wine press. In the wine press is an enclosed space. Normally, you thresh wheat in the open because the Lord fly, the husk will fly around. No? This guy inside the wine press, enclosed space, claustrophobic, threshing the wheat. Because the outside Midianites are coming, taking him as a wheat. Like a coward is behaving. Angel came and said, "Mighty warrior." Must have been very embarrassing for him. He's in the wine press, threshing wheat, and the angel said, "You're a mighty warrior." Because God sees far ahead. No? Far ahead. Then the Lord is with you. The Lord says, and the angel said, "Lord is with you." He says, "If God is for me, why all these things are happening? Why this is happening? Why that's happening?" The Lord tells him, "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you?" Judges 6:14. Go in the strength you have got. What do we say? "Lord, I know I have to do this, Lord. But give me strength, I will go." What God will say? "You go, I will give you strength." How often when I talk about simple things in the church, do something. "I don't think I can do it. I want strength to do it." God will say, "You go, I will give you strength." And therefore, remember one thing. When God has called us, we listen to Him, just obey. He will give us strength by the Holy Spirit's anointing. Asking Him for an increased anointing to fulfill the task He's called you to do. And the task He'll put in your heart. So God's kingdom means power. And power means from the Holy Spirit. Again, it's inheritance. And you ask Him for anointing. And remember one thing, whenever you do anything for God, no, in the kingdom, it will always be to glorify His name and edify His people. Is what I'm saying glorifying the Lord? And what I'm going to say, is it going to bless people? I made many mistakes in the past. Because in my enthusiasm, I would share many things that God did in my life to glorify God. But I was not sensitive to people's feelings. They were not edified. Some became jealous. Some became, they used to question what I said. And sometimes, now I'm a little bit, you know, I'm careful about asking myself, "Lord, should I share this with this person? Will he be edified, Lord? Will he be edified?" Like for example, I'll give you an example how sometimes in a very innocent way we don't edify people. Imagine my son gets 95% in the exam, 12th board, and somebody else in the church, his son has failed in the 12th board. He goes to testimony in the church. "Oh God, help my son, he got 95%. What that man thinking? Other man. God will help my son. Isn't it? So I'm giving an example, no? So whatever you say must be blessing people and glorifying God. When that is clear in ministry, you will enjoy the ministry. Enjoy the ministry. Now, one more aspect of inheritance is every Christian can understand the scriptures. It's such a privilege for us to understand the Bible. That the moment we turn to Christ, at that point of time, a veil covering our heart was removed. And in 1 John 5:20, John writes, He has come and given us understanding. Many Christians think, just because they're not preachers and teachers, they can understand the Bible. Preaching and teaching is a gift for some people. Everyone is not called to teach and preach. That's why God gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But understanding the Bible is for every child of God. Now, to understand, what should we do? What should be our attitude to receive the inheritance? We should set the mind to gain understanding and humble ourselves before God. You know, when the angel appeared to Daniel, Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, angel told Daniel, you are highly esteemed, highly esteemed. Since the day you set your mind to gain understanding and you humble yourself before God, your prayer was heard. In the 10th chapter of Luke, verse 21, in the context of some disciples coming back with excitement, having driven out demons, they are full of childlike excitement, the Lord tells them, don't rejoice because demons submit you, rejoice your names are in the book of life. He told the disciples that. They are full of excitement. Lord, demons submit us in your name. And he tells them, don't rejoice because it, rejoice because your names are in heaven. Then in verse 21 it says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, says to the Father, I praise you, Father, God of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed to children. For this was your pleasure. It's God's pleasure to reveal mysteries to children. Now, who are children? Children are people who are humble and teachable. Moldable, humble, teachable. So when any Christian, young or old in age, will humble himself or herself, set your mind to gain understanding, you will understand the scriptures. Today the Holy Spirit will remind us, teach us scriptures, He will remind us and give us the words to speak to people. Now don't look at your own thing, I don't know how to share. Remember the Holy Spirit. He will teach you, He will remind you, He will enable you to speak. Give you words to speak. Here is the time of teaching. You are understanding God's word. Tomorrow you are alone somewhere. You are never alone. God is with you anyway. And ask Him to remind you that time. Ask Him to, Lord, I have heard so many things, Lord. At this point of time, I am facing this person, Lord. Remind me what I should tell that person. The words will come. Words will come. To be able to speak, He will give you the words. And don't worry about the response, reaction. Because He says in Luke 10:16, if anyone listens to you, he listens to me. If anyone rejects you, he rejects me. No one rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. So in sharing God's word, it's God's word, not our word. Don't worry about the response. As long as you speak the truth in the love of God, don't worry about the consequences. So, knowing the Bible is grace of God and inheritance for every Christian on this earth. Now, in the Bible, there are commandments and promises. Look at the psalmist in Psalm 119. He says to God, verse 18, 19, open my eyes that I see wonderful things in your law. I'm a stranger on this earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. In this world, I'm a stranger. Don't hide your commandments. Then again, verse 148, he writes, my eyes stay open to the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. So the commandments and the promises, he is asking God to reveal to him as living by the word. Now, as you and me obey the commandments, we will face difficulties in life. And difficulties are our inheritance. Philippians 1:29, very important verse. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you not only to believe upon him, also to suffer for him. Your portion is not only believing upon Jesus, also suffering for him. So trials in the will of God are our inheritance. When you face trials, through those trials, you are getting much more inheritances. Because in the trials, what do you hold on to? The promises. Commandments and promises. Obey commandments, troubles come. When troubles come, promises come. You hold on to the promise, you rise above difficulties. Psalm 119 verse 15. The psalmist says, my comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. By holding on to the promises, we rise above every problem in life. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these glory and goodness of God, he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So as you face difficulties, ask God to remind you of the promises. As you hold on to the promises, you will find yourself rising above difficulties. Because every trouble we face in this world, in the will of God, are brought to us by the devil. The devil is very jealous of us. Envious of us, actually. Because we are going to the place from where he came. We are going to heaven, he came from heaven. From heaven to hell is going, we are going from earth to heaven. So he is frustrated. He has some time here while we live in this world, some time he has got with us. That time he wants used to trouble us. To have some understanding of the devil also, perfect. He is frustrated. So he troubles us. He can do nothing about our salvation. He can do nothing about the rewards in heaven. He troubles us, forgetting more troubles mean more rewards in heaven. So he doesn't want to see the rewards in heaven. He can't come there anyway. So here he's troubling us, and we join with him, and we also suffer. And it's a big anticlimax. When you face suffering in this world in the will of God, those troubles are creating for us glory in heaven. So in troubles, never complain. Only consider pure joy. Now we all know some verses in the Bible where it talks about we have been given fullness in Christ. We are complete in Christ. Abundant life we have been given in Christ. You know something? That completeness is the end product of a process. That process includes all kinds of suffering. All kinds of trials. This happens overnight. This happens overnight. It takes time. James 1, 2, 3, 4. Consider pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. For the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work in you, that you be mature and complete, not lacking anything. All people say, I'm a Christian, I won't lack anything. Yeah, one day it'll happen, you won't lack anything, but there's a process. The process includes all kinds of trials. And one word in the King James Version for trials or patience is long suffering. Long suffering is the word used in the King James Version, which we say in the NIV version, patience. Long suffering means what? Suffering long. When suffering comes, what do the fellowship people pray? Lord, the suffering, no, enough Lord, enough Lord. Enough Lord. But God says, I have something else planned. It has to go through the process, no shortcuts. In that process, while facing trials, considered pure joy. Pure joy, unadulterated joy. It requires faith. It requires holding on to God's promises. Because, you know, look at God's nature. He wants the best for us. And very often I compare God's relationship with me with my own relationship with my son. It's of course not perfect. His is perfect. And as a father, I always want the best for my son. Any parent want that. Best for the child, isn't it? I'm limited. Still, I want the best for my child. If I, as an imperfect person, want the best for my son, how much more the Heavenly Father wants the best for me? And He's unlimited. Unlimited love, unlimited power. You know, many years back when I had a major crisis in the family, when I accepted Christ, the devil came and spoke to me. When you are a Hindu, everything was fine. Now you're a Christian, see what's happened to you. Rajan was sick actually. And then the Lord gave me a verse in the Bible to hold on, to stand against the evil one. And also one more verse for me came. One is for the devil, for me to tell the devil, other for me. One of me was Romans 8:32. He did not spare His own Son, He gave Him for us. How will He not along with the Son graciously give us all things? Praise God. He always does what is best. He sees far ahead. You look at the immediate future. My second, oh, why am I having like this? Why these problems? God sees far ahead. Even Gideon looked at the problem. And he was sulking in the corner. And the angel said, mighty warrior. Because God looked far ahead. One day, light was there, covered, be a mighty warrior. I remember, I always say, we are all unfinished paintings. You know, when a painter begins to paint a painting, he'll have the oil, the canvas, the colors, everything ready. And you are a spectator next to you. Imagine someone, a painter is there next to him. He's doing the painting. One stroke here, one stroke there, you're watching. What's he doing? Can't understand head or tail. But he knows, no? He knows how it looks in the end. We don't know. We're all semi-finished paintings. Don't look at yourself and get discouraged. Lord, for so many years I'm trying to get over this problem. Lord, nothing is happening. I'm giving up. What God said, I have not given up. He'll never give up. Look at yourself with a godly perspective as an unfinished product. And to finish the product, He will make us go through trials. Difficult people come your way, difficult circumstances. Difficult person comes your way, thank God for that person. Very difficult to get along with this man. You ask the Holy Spirit what He said. I'm training you. Look at it like this. If you get along with this person, get along with anybody in life. And I was in Germany, you know, 1982. Through prophecy, I was told, I'm going to go to Delhi. I went from Bangalore to Munich. Pastor prophesied, you're going to go to Delhi. And there'll be Bible study in your house. All this is prophesied. Peter Dippel was a German pastor. And then ultimately, I got transfer orders, so 2 years later, to go to Delhi. Then one advisor came from Delhi. One man who has come on official work. I heard you've been transferred to Delhi. I said, yeah. Be careful. Make sure you don't work under so-and-so. A terrible fellow is. Nobody can work under him. Put a condition. I will not work under that man. So I said, no, I won't make any conditions. I depend upon God. I become a believer by that time. Wherever God puts me, I'll go. What happened? Guess what? There's only one working under him. Only one working under that man. And then the Lord taught me. Look at it like this. If you get along with this person, get along with anybody in life. Finally, after many years, I left Siemens. This man was in tears. He's crying. He never gave me promotion for 3 years. He never gave me increment for 3 years. 20 rupees increment. 20 rupees increment. He never gave. By not giving me increment, he got increment. So finally, I said, I'm leaving. Everybody is upset. The stenographer typed my letter, no? She began to cry. She couldn't finish the letter. She was dictating my SMS letter to my stenographer. Forget her name. Anyway. And as the typing letter, she wrote it on shorthand. She began to cry. And then my boss also cried. Then they said, anytime you want to come back, Siemens, you come back. I said, no, I'm going because God has called me. So it's never in vain to work under a difficult person. Or a difficult person. Because it's all training. Training. Gold refined through fire becomes strong. Difficult people around you makes your faith strong. It says in 1 Peter 1:7, I shared last week on the verse about trials. These have come, their faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. We be proved genuine, result in praise, glory, and honor in Jesus Christ's name. Trials come to refine our faith. So look at the world, look at yourself with a godly perspective, and keep on thanking God for every circumstance. You can understand what something is happening to you? Just thank God. Sometimes people ask this question, whether, don't know why this trouble has come. What is God's will in this? What's God's will in this? I don't understand. Hear what God's will is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus concerning you. Can't understand? Praise Him, worship Him, for who He is. Not because the problem is going to be solved, but because of who He is. We praise Him for who He is. We worship Him for whom He is. Who He is never changes. Who we are in Him never changes. So in this world, we can rise above difficulties by living by the resources God has given us. All of us. Don't be compassionate. Don't be, I got enough. You know, if I read the Bible, some people ask me, why, brother, you still carry Bible? When you go pulpit, you don't read Bible. Why you keep Bible with you? I tell them, till I go to the pulpit, I read the Bible. When I'm there, I don't read Bible. So much in this. So many revelation there in this. Never become compassionate. Oh, I know Bible very well. I heard it before. But when you look to God, set your mind to get your understanding, humble yourself, He'll teach you something which shall be bring back to memory at a time when you're facing a crisis. You'll just rise above that, look down upon the problem and praise God. Thank you, Lord. You give me faith to rise above the situation. So don't just look at heaven and wonder, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to reward. In this world, they have inheritance. Thank God for difficult people. Thank God for circumstances very difficult. And tell God, Lord, among all the Christians in the world, only I am chosen to face this difficulty. Praise God. You found me worthy, Lord, to face this difficulty. Because other people couldn't handle it. You found me worthy, I praise you. And you are never alone, remember. Never alone in life. He lives in us. Never say, I am lonely. The word lonely is taboo for a Christian. You mean God is living inside and say, I am lonely. No one is with me. Never forget He lives inside you. He's an encourager. He's a comforter. He's a builder of people. And never let any loose word come out of your mouth. Every trial considered pure joy. Amen. Let's close in prayer.